Okay, school's back in session. As far as I know yet, they're not giving participation awards for school. You don't just get a trophy just for going, and that would be good, wouldn't it? That would be great. But as far as I know, you're still going to get grades. Pass or fail or somewhere in between. Still got to answer to mom and dad about that. So, got kids day, family day, got lots of kids in here today. So, we're going to make this fairly short and sweet. I'm going to give you a wood lesson. I'm going to give you a finishing lesson. Now, my dad's been in wood business a lot longer than I have, but so you check me on it. So, we have brought in some wood from shop. This is beech. You can remember that. You see the, we have a machine that we glue these and you can make bigger panels out of smaller pieces. But you can see the color variations in beech. And this is just one big mammoth slab of ash. So that was a pretty good tree there. They got a pretty good log out of that. You can see color variations there. Sometimes we just cut the wood. Sometimes we just cut it and do different things with it, but mostly a lot of what we do is we take that and we make something finished like that, and that will be a cabinet door rail. They'll make cabinet door out of that, and it's very smooth and very nice, and I don't know, maybe you can see it from there, but this piece is a little bit darker than this piece, and this piece is kind of in between. There's three different kind of shades as the wood kind of dictates the color, how the stain goes on. You will get a dark and a lighter and some different shades. And they're acceptable within a range. It's all acceptable. So it's pretty cool. And what we do at our building, at our shop, is that we turn big pieces and big logs into those. And we actually do thousands and thousands and thousands of feet a week. Like this customer here orders 3,000 feet a week of that. So we go through a lot. Now, here's the deal. If I'm going to finish 3,000 feet a week of this cabinet door rail, and it's going to go into an RV unit, there's going to be cabinetry and other things in there that this color needs to match. It needs to go with that other stuff. I've got to be careful. I've got to be careful how I finish this. So I'm going to call my manufacturer. I'm going to say, hey, I need this stain made. This one's actually called toasted pecan. It's better than brown one or brown two, right? So toasted pecan, and I get this stain made. And so it comes to me every week, and 99.9% of the time, they make it correct. And then we make this shape, and then we stain it. We spray the stain on, and then we put on a clear, and then we sand it, and then we put on another clear coat, and it makes this really, really, really super smooth. Is that super smooth? That's pretty smooth, ain't it? Yeah? Nice? Okay. So we turn rough lumber into this. Now, here's the deal. Even though I get my stain made professionally, and we have machinery that sprays it out, if I spray it a little heavier or a little lighter, the color changes. If I go... There's not going to be much stain on there. It's going to be pretty light. And if I go, it's just going to keep shoving, and it's just going to get darker and darker and darker and darker. But every week, I have got to match their RV units. I have got, this color has to be dead on their RV units. I don't want to send them 3,000 feet, and I'll get a call, and they'll say, Terry, your wood is too dark. You sent me this wood, it's too dark. Fixing it is not good. It is not fun. So how do I do that? I mean, how do I make sure that every week my color is dead on the color they're expecting? I can't just go, well, let's see, last week I remember how I did it. That doesn't work. Well, this is how I do it. See these three pieces? They're called masters. They're called masters. And so the very first time you set up the color with your customer, he says, Terry, I need this. Here's a sample of toasted pecan cabinet. I need you to make me this. And I make it, and I stain out these pieces, and I take these pieces to my customer, and he holds them up in his unit, and he goes, okay, that's right. And I have him initial the back of these, and I take them back with me. And these are called masters. And so every week, we finish, and we go, yep, that's the one. Now, you can't do it week by week. I can't go like, this week I did 3,000 feet, keep a couple pieces of that for next week. And then next week we do a couple thousand feet, we keep a couple pieces of that for next week. You can't do it that way. Because I could be a little light this week. If I'm just slightly light this week or slightly dark, then next week I'm going to be slightly light or dark. And if I move a little bit, that's called color drift. In over 6 months' time, you can really move away from the master right color. 6 months from now, I could send them a load and I could get that call again and go, Terry, I don't know what happened, but you are really getting dark. You are really getting light. This is not matching. So you can't go week to week. You've got to go back to the original. You always have to have an original master signed so you don't have color drift. It's called color drift. You've just gradually, you almost don't even see it. But week after week, you've just been getting off, 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 off. And finally, it's really off. That's called color drift. Sometimes I get a call and it says, Terry, your color's off. It doesn't match the cabinets. Would you come in and check your color? And I pick these babies up because these are the original masters signed by my customer, agreed upon. And I go into his place and I'll go to his unit and I'll go. And once in a while, it's not me. I go, nope, look, mine match. It's your cabinets that's off. It's your countertops that are off. It's this that's off. It's not us. Oh, I got to call my cabinet guy. It saves me a lot of trouble checking the master. But you can't do it week by week, and you've got to save these and protect these. And maybe once a year you make new masters, and you go off of these, and you go back in, and you go, I got new masters. I want to make sure we're right. He re-signs them. But you keep a set of masters just like that. There's a range, but this is the gospel. This never moves, and this never moves. It's the master. You and I, we live day after day after day, and we are faced with so many challenges and so many things and so many thoughts. And you and I absolutely, positively have to keep referring to the master. We can't go back. We can't just go by day. I feel this way this week and this way next week, and this is how I feel today, and I learned. And then we always got to go back and check our life with the master to make sure we are on track, that we've got the color exactly right in our life that he wants. There's so many new thoughts being introduced to us through so many different mediums. There's so many different experiences that play into our life. We have things that we love trying to influence our thinking, and things we hate. Pain tries to influence our thinking. We always have to go back to the master and go, let's see, I'm checking my life with the master. Is the color right? The next few weeks, we're going to start a new series, and we're going to be checking our life up against the master, this Bible, this book we know and love. And there's some good reasons for doing that. And I'm so glad we sang the songs we sang this morning about the good, good Father and about how good God is. Because that's exactly what we're going to be studying and learning about in these next few weeks. Read to you a scripture, and I'm going to read it again. 1 John chapter 1, and I just want to read the first four verses to you. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Mark has it, but if you have a Bible, open it or grab a pew Bible and follow along with me, and let's check our life against the Master, and we'll show you why in just a moment. 1 John, that's the one near Revelation, clear at the end. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1. That's a beautiful sound to hear pages turning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Now this John that wrote this is the same John that wrote the Gospel of John. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father. So He calls Him the Word of life. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we looked upon, can you imagine, just stop for a minute. Could you imagine Jesus being here and you shaking His hand? Could you imagine Jesus being here and giving you a hug? Good morning. Could you imagine hugging the Master, touching Him, hearing Him? That's what He says. We were with Him. We just stayed with Him. We've seen Him. We've heard Him. We hugged Him. We touched Him. We ate with Him. Can you imagine such a thing? Concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it. And we testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. So this Jesus, and He's going to tell us it's Jesus here in just a minute, He was with the Father. Before He came here, He was with the Father. Okay, you've seen that. He was with the Father and He was made manifest. He was revealed to us. He was made known to us. He came and this just developed and there He was and we saw it. He was made known to us, but He was with the Father. And He's eternal life. He is eternal life is what it says. And it was revealed to us that He is the eternal life of the Father given to us, revealed to us. And He says, that's what we're telling you. We touched Him. We heard Him. We hugged Him. We watched Him. He is the eternal life of God the Father, revealed to us. He was there. He's revealed to us, and we're telling you. We're telling you about it. We're excited to tell you about it. Now, let's just stop for a minute and think about what's happening here. The words used here to describe Jesus, there is no way you can read this, just these few verses, there is no way you can read this and say Jesus was a mere mortal. You can't go there with that. He was there before He came here. He's eternal life. He was revealed. He was manifest. It doesn't say He was born. It says He was revealed. He came from there and He was revealed. And He is eternal life. He was there from the beginning. That's not mere mortal. Wherever you're at today, you can't read these four verses and say Jesus was a good man, a good teacher, an important person, a prophet even, blessed by God even, a special God man. You can't go there with this wording. Jesus came from there, and he is eternal life of the Father. And they're saying that John and his other apostles, we were there, dedicated time with him, personally seeing, hearing, touching, personally sitting, personally eating, whatever, and we're going to tell you about it. We're going to tell you about it. There are some people today that you and I run into, and it's almost as if they're not going to believe this unless they could see and hear and touch and see him. I mean, there's just people there. They're asking so much from us. Well, you prove that to me. Well, how do you know? Well, do this. Well, show me that. Or what if? And it's almost as if they are asking us to take him to Jesus so they can see and hear and touch him. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen in this life. This is by faith. This is a faith life. And this is what these authors are telling. This is what Apostle John and Apostle Mark and Peter and all these guys, this is what they're telling him. Mark wasn't an apostle, but he was there with him. That's what they're telling us. They're saying, look, we saw him, and we're going to tell you firsthand. I mean, you're not going to see him. This is a faith issue for us. But I can guarantee you, we saw it firsthand. We're not getting this from anywhere else. We saw it. This is firsthand information. I want to tell you about it. It's very awesome. That's very awesome. Jesus was more than a man. And these are eyewitnesses who have hugged him, who have touched the Master. He says, I want to tell you about the eternal life of God who came here for us. Let's read on. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard. Notice he keeps repeating that. He wants us to know this is firsthand information. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. Why? And here's where we're going the next few weeks. So that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So, we've seen it, we heard it. This is firsthand information. I'm proclaiming it to you. Why? So that you, us, might have fellowship with John and with each other. And his fellowship is with Jesus and the Father. Now, let's stop right there. Reason number one. Reason number one is fellowship. Why are we writing these things to you? So that you might have fellowship. What is that? Koinonia. You've heard it. Koinonia. Fellowship. What is it? This is why he's writing to us. He tells us very clearly. I'm going to tell you why I'm writing this. Why I'm telling you about this Jesus, this life, this amazing, amazing thing that we happen to be able to be with and hold and touch and hear. And I'm telling you this. It's because so you can have fellowship with us. And our fellowship's with him. So we're all going to have fellowship. This fellowship is going to go here, and it's going to go here. Now, that's more than physical fellowship. You might say you're having fellowship right now with each other. We're having fellowship. We're sharing. We're partaking together. This can't happen there. Because he's saying he's fellowshipping with the Father and with Jesus. And they're not in the same room. So this can't be physical. He's saying, I want you to have fellowship with us. Oh, I don't think John the Apostle is coming walking in here anytime soon. So this fellowship, this partaking, this sharing, and this is why he's writing, so that we can have it, is something spiritual. It's something of the soul. It's something of the real life in us that somehow you and I can have fellowship, a soul-sharing, spirit-sharing communion with him, with the writers of the New Testament, and with each other who have this same fellowship. There's a fellowship deeper than just, hey, how you doing today, man? Good to see you. I'm glad you came. There's a fellowship much deeper than that, that you and I can have, actually have, with the Father and the Son and with each other. Now, that's going to take a little faith. How does that work? Well, I can get you started on that. And parents, you get to explain this to your children someday, so I'll pray for you. I can explain a little bit, just a little bit, though. So here's the deal. Terry and I used to lead what was called a divorce recovery group for a number of years. And so the first group we ever had was like 12 people. And I'll tell you what, they were 12 of the most broken people you've ever seen. Divorce, if you're the one that doesn't want the divorce, divorce is one of the most humiliating, degrading, spirit-wrenching, throw-it-in-the-trash type of things you're ever going to experience. It's rejection at its highest level. It is hurt beyond belief. Some psychologists say it hurts more than death. It's incredibly painful. And that first group we had was nothing short of that. 12 people, and we pulled some couches around in a room with the monitors, because there's a DVD thing with it. And they would come in there and just, if you ever want to experience a room of 12 just absolutely decimated, broken, humiliated souls, that's what it was. And the tears, the crying, and we would just get started and we'd say, what did you think about that DVD? And they it was just the most painful thing. But the odd thing about that group was they couldn't wait to get there. Because when they walked in that room, instead of going to work where everybody's happy and smiling and they felt like they were just this total broken outcast, worthless piece of trash thrown out by this spouse, they went to a group where they felt loved and understood and accepted, and they couldn't wait to get there. It was going to be painful, but they couldn't wait to get there. And in this group, there becomes this bond that goes way deeper than just the physical presence. It's a thing of the soul where you know and you feel each other, and you just walk in and there's just, everything changes from the inside because you're amongst like souls and spirits. And even though in this particular situation, it is brokenness, there's a fellowship of the soul that happens. You may have experienced this in a good way, in a positive way somewhere. You may have a group of people that all just kind of resonate and they get it and they're there. And we've seen it on Wednesday night. I remember on Wednesday night we had a prayer circle downstairs one Wednesday night. And we were praying, and there's probably at least 20 of us praying, and some people prayed who don't usually pray, and they just decided to empty their heart and their soul, and we were just all just praying. And I bet we prayed for a good half hour, 40 minutes, man. We were just praying. Our eyes, when we opened our eyes, nobody wanted to move. It was just kind of like, whoa, this is so sweet. There's a fellowship of the soul and the spirit that so transcends just even what we're doing right here. Even in this room right here, you could be in the, you can, can't you be, I've heard so many people tell me this, I'm rambling, You've heard spouses say, I'm in the same house with her or him, but we feel like we're miles apart. You can be sitting next to each other and not know this person and feel like you're 10 miles apart. Physical proximity means nothing. There's a soul and a spirit communion and a fellowship. Even in a large room full of people, there are people here who get it, who like their heart just kind of breathes Jesus. And when you're around those people, you can tell. There's just something, you connect, you resonate. You love Jesus too. I mean, yes, I do. I love Jesus. And there's just this thing. That's the fellowship John's talking about. My fellowship is with him. And our souls and our spirits, we resonate, we connect, and it's like me and him get up every day and we go to work and we do things. And our fellowship can be the same way. I'm writing these things to you because you can fellowship with me, and my fellowship is with him, and we can all fellowship together. There's a fellowship much deeper than just here, us. But when we share it together, when I have it and you have it and we're all there, we have prayer meetings that we don't want to get up from. We go and we do things together. We serve together and we don't want to leave. It's amazing fellowship. That's true biblical fellowship. Having a church party or church picnic, that's fun. That's good. And you can have true fellowship there. A baptism, wasn't that kind of like real fellowship? I mean, weren't we just like loving each other? Wasn't we just like, oh man, praise God for you. Praise God for you. That's fellowship. There is a fellowship beyond this. That's what he wants us to have. I'm writing these things to you so that you'll have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with our Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And, number two, I'm writing these things unto you so that your joy might be complete. Our joy will be complete. Now, that's going to take some faith. That's going to take some faith because we want to have this fellowship. We're going to have this fellowship. And he wants our joy to be absolutely filled up. Now, here's the faith issue for us. Most of us would say, I'm pretty happy, dude. I'm okay. Life's good. I got joy. Really, I do. Really, I do. Life's good. Okay. Could it be better? Is there more? See, that's a faith issue. You and I, in this country, in this world, I've got plenty to make me happy. I'll walk out that door, I'll go golfing, I'll go fishing, I'll go. There's plenty to make me happy today. I got a beautiful wife. I got great grandkids. Look at that. I got plenty to make me happy today. What do you mean? Don't tell me I don't have joy. I'm not telling you you don't have joy. He's saying so that your joy will be complete. I'm saying it's incomplete. I'm saying there's a better joy. That's what John's telling us. There's a joy goes past your joy. It's a complete joy that comes with fellowship, true communion, true spirit-soul communion with the Father and with each other. When you can get to that, I'm telling you there's a joy, a complete joy, way past where you're at. You're happy, satisfied, you got your 401k, life's good. I'm telling you there's more. That's what he's saying. You got a job, you got your kids, that's your life, that's good. I'm telling you there's more. You got your health, you got your sweet car. I'm telling you there's more. And I'm writing to you because I was there with him. And I saw it, and I know it, and I'm telling you firsthand, there's something incredibly more that will complete your joy in any circumstance, at any time. There's a joy well beyond the joy you know now. And I want you to know that. I'm writing so that you can know that. It's going to take faith. First of all, you're going to have to ask yourself, is this true? Is there joy beyond what I think is joy? And I think I'm pretty darn happy. Thank you very much. Can I believe this? Well, sure you can. I hope you can. I'm writing to tell you there's a joy you can't even imagine. And believe it or not, it's in a soul-spirit fellowship with the Father and the Son and those of you who are like spirit. I want you to have this joy. I don't just want you to go to a conference called Women of Joy. She's got the shirt. She's got the shirt. Today I choose joy because that was a Women of Joy concert, conference. That they get it. They're on to it. Do you believe that? Will you believe that? Will you give that a chance? There is something more than what this life has to offer. Way more in a fellowship with the Father. And thirdly, the third thing he's writing to us, it's not in these passages. I'm going to read you some passages, but it's confidence. The third one is confidence. I'm writing to you. We're going to embark on this study because I want you to have fellowship, this communion. I want you to know this joy that's way more than anything this planet will give you. And I want you to have confidence. I want you to have confidence about it. I want you to be assured of it. So let me read you a couple passages. By this we shall know we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. I'm writing to you and I'm going to explain this to you, and by this you'll know the truth. You'll know you're in the truth. You're on the right track, and reassure your heart before Him. Some of us aren't sure. We go through things in our life and we just go, man, I'm not sure. Am I there? Am I on it? Is this right? And He says, I want you to be sure. I want to reassure you. You're on the right path. Okay? Second verse. Let me read another one to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Now notice, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. So you believe. I know you believe. I'm writing to believers. I'm not saying you don't believe. I'm writing to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. But I want you to know. I want you to be solid. I want you locked in. I want you to know I have eternal life. I'm not questioning it. I'm not worried about it. I have it, and I want you to know. And that's why he writes. He says, this is why I write to you. I write these things to you who believe that you may know that you have eternal life. It is something you can absolutely know, not just partial life, eternal life, forever. You're with the Lord. I want you to know that. You can know that. So I'm writing this to you. I want you to have fellowship with Him. I want you to have full joy that you can't imagine. And I want you to know. I want you to have confidence. 1 John chapter 4. I'm reading 3, and there's probably 8 or 9 times he says this in this letter. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. By this is love perfected, so that we have confidence for the day of judgment. You can have confidence for the day of judgment. Yes, there's a judgment day coming. You can be confident you're not going to be on the wrong side of that coin. You can be confident you're wheat, not chaff. You can be confident you're sheep, not goat. You can be confident you're a son of God. Your heart's assured of it. You know you have eternal life. I'm writing so that you can. Isn't that amazing? I should be getting amens. I can know that. We can know that. We don't have to go into the future thinking, man, I hope I'm good enough. Man, I hope I make it. Man, I hope I did. And I've heard that too many times from some of our dying saints here. I just hope I've been good enough. No, you can know. That's what the whole letter of 1 John's about. So that you know, so that you're assured, so that your heart rests in it, you trust in it, you're confident of it. The day of judgment, you're on the right side. I'm writing to you. I want you to know that. Rest. Rest in him. Fellowship with him. Your joy will be full then. And just the fact that we can know, even though I don't know yet, I haven't preached a thing yet, but you said, it said, okay, I can know, that's cool. So he writes, and he tells us, he says, some of you are being fooled. There are people out there who want to fool you, who want to trick you. So he says things like, you got to test the spirits. You got to check the spirits, because there's people out there preaching something else. Some of you are fooling yourself. You act like you know it all. You know the path, but you don't. So I'm writing to you. I want you to on the path. I want you to do it. There's a test to be taken. That's what he's writing. Let me give you a few things so that you know. You know that's me. Let me put it another way. I'm writing to you so you can check your life with the Master and go, yep, that's the right color. I'm painting the right shade in my life. I got the color right. I have eternal life. I have fellowship, communion with the Father and with some of those believers. Your heart just beats with the beat of Jesus. And our joy is way beyond anything this planet has to give us. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be checking. We're going to be checking with the Master. I want you to have joy. I want us to have confidence. And I want us to have the fellowship with the Father. You can fellowship with Him today and have joy, unbelievable joy. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Wouldn't that be beautiful? We're going to look at it next few weeks. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for assurance, joy, and communion with you. Lord, we love you. We look forward to you teaching us. Open our hearts to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. You kids were good today. You sat well. Thank you.